Good morning, friends. I'm happy to be here back after almost 6 months. I've been here last November. And thank you so much for having me this morning. Thank you so much for the interview the pastor made. It gives me a lot of information. And this morning, I'm so happy to be with my friends and our representatives, Andy McFerlando and my brother Larry McCoy and other friends who has been hosting me in their houses and helping me to take to different churches as I'm sharing the ministry as well as sharing the Word of God in different congregations. This morning already I have given a brief a picture of India through our video as well as through interview. This morning, I want to present about hope in the context of extreme poverty as well as severe persecution. India is the second largest country in Asia. There are 1.2 billion people live in India. Out of the total population, about 60% are illiterate. International Food Research Institute has released the Global Hunger Index report in 2012. According to that report, India ranked as a 65th nation in Global Hunger Index. With 30%, that means more than 800 million people under international below poverty line, it's only is $1.96 per day. India accounts for 1 in 3 of the poor people in the worldwide. 50% of Indians, even today, they don't have proper housing and accommodation. 70% of the people in India, they don't have decent toilets and bathrooms. 35% of the households, even they don't have any nearby water facility. The girls and the women need to walk 10 miles to get a jar of water to their houses. 85% of Indian villages, they don't have access to the waters as well as road transport. Over 40% of the villages, even they don't have any elementary school to education to their children. There are 65 million people considered as a slum, those who live in the slums with a tiny plastic sheds over their heads. With a population of over 1 billion, India is home to 400 million children, the largest number in any country in the world. One third of the world's children lives in India. 3 million children under age 5 die each year in India, mostly due to malnutrition. More than 17 million children in India are considered as slums or street children. You can find them anywhere and everywhere, on the roads, on the pavements, on the railway platforms. More than 18 million children are the victims of child labor. working in dangerous and hazardous conditions. More than 3 million children, you can find them on the street begging for food and the clothes. That is the poverty in India. In other side, the severe persecution. As I said earlier, what is the fundamental difference between Christianity and Hinduism in India means we believe in one God. Hindus has 300 million gods and goddesses. Indian government, the Hindu national government, want to make India as a one Hindu nation in the world. They want to see India as Christianity-free nation. Hindu nationalistic government want to see India absolutely turn back to Hinduism. No other religion, only Hinduism. So the families been forced and been converted into Hinduism every day and every week. It is reported that in 2011, under the World Watch List, where the report counts the people who suffer for their faith, in 2011 it was 31 for India. In 2017, the India ranked as the 15th nation where the Christians suffer most persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. Approximately 1 in 12 Christians experience persecution for their faith in India. It is reported that a church has burnt down, a minister beaten up on average 10 times in a week. This year itself, last January, 60 Hindu national activists broke into a church. They caught up the pastor and his wife, 7 months pregnant wife. They pour out the gasoline. They escape the survive, but they ablaze. And they set fire on the church and they burn down their Bibles and the gospel tracts. On January 17th, it has been reported to the National Human Rights, 60 tribal women, those who live on the mountain, was taken by the police officers. They were raped, tortured. When these innocent women tried to shout and cry, the officers said to them, "If you keep on shout and cry, we will put chilies in your private parts." After I came here, I have posted on my Facebook wall. 16 men, they came to a pastor house, 60 years old pastor, without wife, doing the ministry and preaching the gospel. They called him out. They have beaten him with iron rods and heavy sticks. And they left him, assumed that the man died. After 15 minutes, some of the people came and admitted in the hospital. And the doctors reported he lost his eyesight and he became deaf. This is the reality in India. When you see the video, you might see that we are on the road every time with congregations with the people, but it is not an easy road. Christians being excommunicated. Of course, I have given my story. I have been expelled from my house at the age of 10 because I am following the Jesus. Curtailed the privileges and excommunicated from the societies. The plans has been made by the Indian government to eradicate the Christianity by 2019. The plans has been made to stop Bible printing in India. They are planning to put a ban on the church buildings, and they want to demolish and destroy their properties belongs to Christians. I have given two wings of India. One side, extreme poverty. Other side, severe persecution. I put before you the question, what is the hope in this context? Where can we find a way out? Where can I see the hope for India? The hope for the Christians in India. Where can we get the hope in the midst of the severe persecution as well as extreme poverty? Everywhere we can see the despair. Darkness over our nation. Gloomy, helplessness, disappointments, fears, tears, challenges everywhere. Opposition, suffering, injustice, hardships. Is there any hope for us? Is there any way out? Where can we see hope? Where we can feel the hope? Where we can experience the hope beyond these situations? This is the 100 million question for me many a times. This is the question of our daily and everyday question. Is there any hope for us in India to follow Jesus and to give Jesus, to share the good news, to preach the gospel to India, to save them before they ended up in eternal hell? As I'm thinking, where can we find the hope? The scripture giving me the hope. Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Ephesians, it is there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. This is the picture of India. Every time I see, though they have 300 million gods and goddesses, I can say my India, my people, my family are without God and without hope. When Apostle Paul addressed this Ephesian church, it does not mean that they don't have gods and goddesses. The Bible scholars say that one, Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, is the center for the Roman deity called Diana or Artemis. If you read Acts chapter 19, you will know what is the city of Ephesus. City of Ephesus is the center for Roman deity and the most extravagant temple was built in Ephesus for Diana or Artemis. It became one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. The idol of Artemis in the city of Ephesus became the seven wonders of the ancient world. The temple was constructed almost 220 years with pure marble. It measured 345 feet by 105 meters long and 165 feet by 50 meters wide, and was supported by massive columns, each 55 feet by 17 meters high. The original idol was apparently carved from meteorite that had fallen from heaven. Such a religious city, such a religious people, and the citizens in Ephesus were considered as patriots of Roman Empire by having this temple in the city. But Apostle Paul, when he addressing the Gentile believers in the church, he is saying to them, you are people without God and without hope. That's what Matthew Henry comments on this scripture. He says that Ephesians were atheists in the world, though they worshipped many gods and goddesses. Apostle Paul believed that the people away from Christ, away from the Savior, away from God, apart from Christ, are the people without God, people without hope. That's what he's calling the Gentile believers of Ephesus. Those days, before they accepted Christ, before they come to faith, before they began to follow Jesus, though they have gods and goddesses, he considered them as atheists, the people without God. He does not stop there. He continues to say that the people without God are the people without hope. That's what he continues and say that one. But now, as of now, you are brought by the blood of Jesus Christ to God, and you became the heirs of the kingdom of God. They got God. They got hope through God. They did not seek the hope. They did not find God by themselves. The scripture says, you brought by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the answer to my question. Is there any hope for me in India? Is there any hope for America? Is there any hope for Bethany Mission? Is there any hope? Means, yes, there is a hope, because there is a God, the God who brings hope. You were brought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not only brought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you were bought with a price. God made the provision for the world to have a hope through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ claimed in John chapter 14, 6, the most exclusive claim in the world. Even today, the world hates it most and most. The single most claim of Jesus Christ, the world hates even today. The claim, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If anyone comes to God, to Father, none except through me. Indians are happy to accept Jesus Christ as a God, a way, not the God. And not the way. But is there anyone in the world can say and claim that one, I am the way to the Father? We were brought by the blood of Jesus Christ to God. Through God, we have hope. They brought by the blood of Jesus Christ. the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross made the people to find the hope. It is not the people, but it is God who sent his son to the world. So no one can perish, but everyone have the eternal and everlasting hope and life in Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He reconciled the people. He became the peace offering. He became the sin offering for the people who are enemy to God, who are hostile to God, who are away from God. They were brought back by his blood, by his cross. If Christ has died for me and for you and for us, is there anything we can stop giving hope to the people? Jesus Christ is the only hope for the world, my friends. The hope without Christ, the hope without God is not a hope. It is a false hope. The hope which ends by vanity. The world gives lot of offerings and offering the hope. This hope is vain and vanity. It will be ended up once the life perished on this world. As I know, many people are offering. The money is offering. The political governments, the political authorities, the money, the positions, and the insurance companies, whatever you feel, it is your hope. But my friends, hope without God, hope without Christ, hope outside the gospel of Jesus Christ, hope outside Christ, hope outside God is futile and vain. The question, is there any hope? Yes, there is a hope in Christ Jesus. Once upon a time, I was a man without God and without hope. Now I found this hope in Jesus Christ. I accepted this hope. I experienced it. I contained this hope. So how can I hide this hope by not sharing to the people? How can I withhold the hope I received from Jesus Christ? Where we can get this hope? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Apostle Paul wrote to Ephesian church. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Christ Jesus, who gives hope. My friends, who gives the hope today? You may say that one. Those days he might has given the hope. No, friends. Even today, the Savior, the Redeemer, the only one begotten Son sent from heaven, the only man under the sun who took away the hell of me and of the people, is the only one who can give hope. The Savior, Christ Jesus, who gives hope. In the same way, Apostle Paul, he wrote to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, as we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have. It is not we gain. It is not what we will have in the future, are not in heaven. It is already you have. The enduring hope you have because of your government. You have because of your political position. You have because of your property. You have because of your caste. You have because of Hinduism. Is it the word? The scripture clearly says, enduring hope already you have. Why? Because of our Lord Jesus Christ. I found a hope in Jesus. I have a hope because of Jesus Christ, because he is still alive even today. He is still alive. Because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. We hope, we have hope because of Jesus. Our hope is not in a place. Our hope is not in a parliament of India. Our hope is not in a place, not in a philosophy, not in an ideology, not in an opinion, not in an ology, any ology. Not in a place, not in a philosophy, not in an ology. Faith in a person, Jesus Christ, the real man who can understand me. He became the man. That's what the Bible says about him. The Son of Man came. He was willing to call, be my brother, because he was called as Son of Man. Son of God became Son of Man because he wanted to make the men of man to become sons of God. Son of God became Son of Man because he wanted to make the men become the sons and daughters of God. I have a hope in Jesus. I have a hope because of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, it says that one. The Christian call. The call to become a Christian. The call to become a follower of Jesus Christ. The call to become the sons and the daughters of God is nothing but it is a call to hope. The call of Christianity, the call of Jesus Christ to the world, to the nations, is not for nothing but is a call to hope. That's what Ephesians 1:18 says. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in our order, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So when we believe Jesus Christ, not only we come to God, not only we come to hope, it is a call to hope. It is a call to have hope in Jesus Christ. Christianity is a call to hope, my friends. This hope in Jesus Christ. This hope in the Savior. This hope in my Redeemer. This hope in my apostle, the one who sent by the Lord and the one who sent me to the world to preach the good news is enough for my past. The hope in Jesus Christ is enough for my present troubles. The hope in Jesus Christ is enough for my future fears. The hope in Jesus Christ is enough for my past, my brothers. The hope in Jesus Christ is enough for my present troubles. The hope in Jesus Christ is enough for my future fears. I don't know what the future holds for me. I don't know what the future holds for India. I don't know what the future holds for my church in India. I don't know what the future holds for my family in India. But I know my hope in Jesus Christ is a strong anchor. Anything can happen to me, but nothing can happen to my hope in Jesus Christ, my friends. How can we receive this hope, my friends? How this hope can go to the world? How the people in desperate need to have the hope. It is not the real hope, at least to hear the word hope. How can this hope can minister the people? How can this hope can reach the people? Is there any mean to give the hope to the people? Colossians chapter 1 verse 5 to 8, we can read, the hope comes through the gospel, through the word of God. That's what he wrote to the Colossian believers. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, the good news, which has come to you. How the hope goes to the world. How the hope ministered to the world means the hope goes through the gospel. Gospel alone. Gospel alone. No other means that world can receive the real hope. This certain hope. Except through gospel, my friends. That's what makes me too passionate about preaching the gospel in spite of suffering, in spite of trials, in spite of opposition, in spite of suffering. What makes me to preach the good news means the gospel is the only way to give the hope to the world. Gospel is the only power unto save the humankind. Can you give me any other power which can change the world, which can change the lives of the people except the gospel? Since 2,000 years, this gospel has been power. It is not only a power, it is a power of God at work, even today. Even today, the hope only goes through preaching of the good news. Through the gospel, the word, my friends. When we preach this gospel, it is not in a gospel. It is not in a hope. It is not a simple hope. It is in a redemptive hope. It is not a hope to feed the bellies. It is not the hopes to have come and go. The hope in Jesus Christ. The hope gospel gives. The hope we preach through gospel. The hope we received. The hope we experienced. The hope we share. It's not a simple hope. And it is not a word. It is a redemptive hope. This hope has a power to redeem the people. That's what Romans chapter 5 verse 3 to 5 we say. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confidence, hope of salvation. This is a hope of salvation, my friends. Is it not a redemptive hope? This hope can redeem the people. This hope offers the salvation in Jesus Christ. People want to have the hope without experiencing the salvation of God, my friends. My friends, it is a vague claims we make in India. No salvation, no hope. No salvation, no forgiveness of sin. No salvation, no hope. No salvation, no good things. Hope without salvation is a vanity, my friends. Bible hope, biblical hope, Christian hope is nothing but it is in a redemptive hope. We have a confident hope of salvation in spite of trials. That's what people can rejoice in our trials. That's what he say. When we run into problems and trials, it is not somebody is taking out. When we go to the world, when we going to the villages, nobody asking us to come and preach your gospel in our villages. We run into the villages. Simply, what does it mean? Means we run into problems. If I am sitting in the church, nobody bothers. If I do my ministry in the church, within the walls, within the four walls, nobody bothers. If I run into the villages, if I run into the slums, if I run into the mountains, if I run into help the people, there is a problem. So by preaching the gospel, we run into villages as well as we run into problems, we run into trials, we run into courts, we run into polices. But we know that one, the hope we received in Jesus Christ has a strong confidence, and it is a hope of salvation, this salvation of hope, never disappoint. The hope in Jesus Christ is in a redemptive hope. This hope never disappoint us. Never disappoint us. Never put us down. The hope in Jesus never put in down in the court when I was called by the judge. This hope in Jesus Christ never cast me down. Because I know that when this hope I have is in a redemptive hope, and this hope never, never and ever disappoints. Your hope in friends may be disappoint my friends. Your hope in your family may disappoint you. Your hope in the government, your hope in the White House, your hope in your some things may be and a disappoint to you. But the hope in Jesus Christ, the scripture answering me, this hope never disappoint us. This is in a redemptive hope we have. Secondly, this hope is nothing but it is in a hope of righteousness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 5. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Redemptive hope. Secondly, it is in a righteous hope. In this hope, there is no injustice. In this hope, there is no unrighteousness. The hope Christians are experiencing is in a righteous hope. It is not only here, even when we stand before the judgment of God. When God judged both living and dead, when God judged the nations, we can be freely come out of the great judgment because we got the righteousness of hope. We are righteous before God, not by our deeds. I'm righteous before God, not I'm helping to the children or not by helping the poor widows. I cannot be righteous because I'm doing something good, my friends. We become righteous only by faith through grace of Jesus Christ. The hope we received in Christianity is in a righteous hope, my friends. It is righteous as well as it is in a hope of resurrection. Redemptive hope. Righteous hope. Thirdly, this hope takes me beyond my grave. They can kill me. They can kill my body. They can bury me. They can burnt me. But they cannot completely take away my soul. They cannot steal my glorious body, which Christ has been preparing for me in the eternity. The hope of resurrection. That's what Apostle Paul, when he said that in 15 chapter 19, the hope takes us beyond the grave, beyond this earth, beyond this life now. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are, of all people, most be pitied. Having hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. When our roles been called up, when we stand, whether you like it or not, we are going to stand before the righteous judge. But there is no condemnation, those who believe in Jesus Christ, because already we passed the judgment. We passed. That's what John's gospel says. The one who believed Jesus Christ is already passed. The one who did not accept Jesus Christ is already condemned. It is done. My judgment is done. I no need to wait for my future because I was justified through faith by grace of Jesus Christ. When they kill me, when they burn me, when the heaven call me, I have a hope of resurrection. There is a redeemer. That's the song today the choir has sang. Yes, there is a redeemer. He can redeem your body from the grave. The hope of Christianity is not only life now. It is in a hope from life now to life to come. Fourthly, the hope of Christianity is a reserved hope. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, which comes from you, your confident hope of God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this experience ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. The hope for Christianity is already reserved. It is stored up in heaven. It's not me, the scripture. It was already reserved. It is stored already. The hope is already laid, which is kept for you in heaven. The hope which is kept safe in heaven for you. Hope treasured up for you in heaven. We have a hope in the present, and also we have a hope for the future, because the hope in Jesus Christ already stored up. We have a hope reserved, my friends. Our seats are reserved. Our masons are reserved. Our rewards are reserved already. Our nameplates were reserved already. All right. Our nameplates. That's what Book of Revelation says, that one. He will write the name on a pillar in heaven. Yes, our nameplates already prepared. Our hope is reward. The more we fix our hopes on the rewards in the other world, the world which comes, the more free shall we be in doing good with our earthly treasures, my friends. Because we have a treasure up in heaven. No enemy can deprive. No one can steal the hope we have in heaven with Jesus Christ. We have a hope of glory, and we have an eternal hope. It was reserved. That's what, if you read Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. This hope was not started with Jesus Christ. The hope the Christians who looks for is prepared, promised, when? Before the ages began. Simply, before the world began. Before the beginning of time. Before the times of the world. It began before the world, my friends. You can go through those scriptures very clearly. The hope in Jesus Christ is prepared before the world. And he said that one, the God who never, never lies. Right? He never lies. He never say lie to the people. That's the Paul is assuming that. Your reward in heaven, the eternal hope, everlasting hope, was promised by the Father God, who never lied, even today, since the beginning of the time. So the hope we received in Christ is not simple. It is in a redemptive hope. It is in a righteous hope. The hope gives the rewards. The hope gives the glory, hope of glory, as well as it is everlasting hope and eternal hope, my friends. The hope that Jesus gives does not do any good. I have given hope, redemptive hope, right? Righteous hope, resurrection hope, glory of hope, eternal and everlasting hope. Lot of things. The hope that Jesus gives to the world does not do any good until we accept it. The hope that Jesus gives to the people does not do good until we acknowledge it.
until we receive it, until we experience it, until we share it, the hope in Jesus Christ does not do good until we acknowledge it. Until we experience it, the hope that Jesus gives does not do any good, my friends. Today, multitudes of the people living in hopeless conditions, my friends, living without any hope or any little hope. Some of them are hopeless for their marriages. Some of them are hopeless for their children. Some of them are hopeless for health issues. Some of them are hopeless due to their finances. Some of them are hopeless for their jobs. Some of them are hopeless because of rejection, because of opposition, because of discrimination. You see the places where people live without any hope. You can ask my friends Larry and Andy. Yesterday they have a meeting in Lexington. After my friend Andy came, that's what he's telling. Yes, just we went out to speak that they have a hope at least. There are places, there are people not only having hope, even they never had the word hope at least in their lifetime. People are dying for hope, my friends. The world does not need more technology. The world does not need more books, I think. The world does not need more information. The world does not need more. The world needs a single word, hope. People are dying for hope. It is like Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 11. It says that one, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone away. Our hope is lost. Our hope is perished. Our hope has vanished. This is the lives of many of the people. The people without hope. The hope has perished. The hope has vanished. The hope has lost. If people do not find hope in Jesus, where can they find hope, my friends? If the people cannot find hope in Jesus, what can give hope to the hopeless? What is the better hope than Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who took away the hell, who took away the suffering, who took away the hunger, who took away the naked? Where can find the people? Where can people find hope if they don't find in Jesus? If you have any answer, please give me so I can take that one so I may not preach the gospel of Christ in India, my friends. Where people can find hope if they don't find hope in Jesus? If they don't find hope in gospel? If they don't find hope in good news of God? That's what every time I ask my friends in India as well as here. Give everything you want to give and help the people. Give everything and anything, whatever you want to give. Give to them, help them, support them, feed them, clothe them, cover them. You help whatever you can do, but don't forget to give hope in Jesus. Don't forget to give Jesus. Don't forget to give Jesus, to give hope in Jesus. Again and again, I'm claiming the same statements. The hope without God, hope without Jesus is vanity, my friends. Is a futile. After all, giving hope, if there is no Jesus in their hope, if there is no eternity in their hope, If there is no everlasting life in their hope, I don't know what kind of hope we can give to the world. So help, support, do whatever you can do. But don't forget to give Jesus, to give hope in Jesus, my friends. Catherine of Siena, 1317, he says that, for one cannot share what one does not have inside oneself. I repeat, my friends, for one cannot share what one does not have inside oneself. We cannot share what we don't have. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We come to hope in Jesus Christ. We are called to hope in Jesus Christ. We have hope in Jesus. We have hope because of Jesus. We have hope, the hope of glory, the hope of eternity, the hope of resurrection, the hope of heaven. We have. The question, will you share it? Will you give it? Would you please take the hope you have to the world? Would you offer this hope? Would you give the hope wherever, whenever you encounter the people? Is there anyone can say that one, I encountered a person today or tomorrow or coming week, I gave him a hope? We are the channels for the world to give hope. We are the God's channels to offer the hope to the hopeless world. Will you be the channel to give hope? Will you be the answer? Not finding answer in Google. Not finding answer somewhere in the world. Will you be the answer? Will you be the good news of hope? Will you be the gospel? Will you be the good news to the hopelessness of the world? Will you give hope to someone today? At least will you say hope to you? Will you say to someone, there is a hope in Jesus? Would you offer hope when you meet someone? How would you like to offer hope to people in India, my friends? How would you like to offer hope to India? I would like to offer a hopeless child in India, a hopeless woman, a hopeless girl, a hopeless people who are hunger, suffer, naked, torture. How would you be the hope to India this morning? How would you be the hope to your family? How would you be the hope to your church, to the congregation, to your nation? We are the hope givers. Don't forget that. We received it. We should give it. That's what Apostle Paul says. I give to you what I have received. Don't be the receivers. Don't be the prisoners of hope. Be the people of hope. Don't be the prisoners who contains hope. Just release the hope. Offer the hope in Jesus. In Jesus alone, my friends. Thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much for supporting Bethany Mission. I know there are many, I have found many hope givers in YSS Community Church since 2012. You have been blessing to India. You are bringing hope. And I admire you. And I appreciate the kind support to the ministry as well as to the children in India. Thank you so much, Pastor Jim and Audrey and all my friends. Thanks so much.
The worship team can come forward at this